I want to start this morning by stating the conclusion of this sermon right at the beginning. I want us to understand where this lesson is going and where we're going to end up. And I want us to approach this lesson in the most careful of ways that we possibly can. The conclusion of this lesson, when we get to the end, we will have determined from a study of the Word of God that there are only two genders. There always have been, there always will be. God designed it that way, for there to only be two genders. Every person on this earth is either male or female. Not both, not neither, not a combination of the two. They're either male or female. One's gender is something that is determined by God upon conception. It is something that is developed inside the mother's womb. It is something that is easily identified upon one's birth, and it is something that remains unchanged for the rest of that person's life. When we study this and we come to God's Word and we find these things, we understand that this is the way that God lovingly and carefully created all of us. You see, truth is simple. Sometimes people don't like the fact that it's so simple, but God's truth is simple. And it's not something that we need to be ashamed of or to back away from. It's just something that we need to stick with and to stand up for. But it's amazing today, as simple as God's truth is, how many people seem bent on changing it. How many groups seem bent on changing this simple truth. Groups like Disney, of all the people on this earth, for a company who has built themselves upon entertaining our children, to want to change this simple truth. Our government is wanting to change this simple truth. And unfortunately, it's creeping even into our school systems, where they are wanting to change what is being taught about this simple truth. It's amazing that even in our schools today, in every subject matter, it doesn't matter what the subject is, they find a way to teach about this particular thing. But what I want us to do this morning is to recognize that every subject in school actually teaches this truth. Every subject in school fortifies for us this truth that we read in God's Word and makes this conclusion very clear. And so what I want to do this morning is I want us to go back to school. I know some of you are getting out of school and you don't want to go back to school. Today we had our promotion Sunday and we helped to promote our young people to their next grade level. And so today, since it's promotion Sunday, I just want us to go to school. And I want us this morning to learn what we should have learned in school. I want us this morning to learn what we should have learned in school about gender. And I know maybe you think this isn't something we should have learned in school, but it's something that we're going to learn in school one way or the other. And if there's any place we ought to learn about this, it better be in God's school. And so this morning, I just want us to go to school, if that's okay. And I want us to learn in God's school what we need to know about gender. Maybe you didn't learn this in school this year, but you should have. But here's the truth about this, and I already went too far, didn't I? That's the screen I wanted to be up there, and I guess I jumped beyond it. What should you have learned in school? What should you learn in school? Let's talk about what we need to learn in God's school. And I want us to go to various classes this morning. I don't know what your favorite class was in school. Don't really care right now. But we're going to go through a variety of classes this morning and see what do we learn in these various classes. Obviously, class we probably need to start in is biology class. I don't know if you like biology class. That was one of my worst classes. But what I want us to do this morning is I want us to define some terms. And I am thankful that I still have a dictionary from the 1900s that has definitions in it, that were accepted, not just in the 1900s, they were accepted for centuries before the 1900s, going all the way back to the beginning. Very simple definitions. So this morning, I want to share with you some definitions just that come from this dictionary. I didn't make these up. But when we go to biology class, what is biology? Okay, let's define the term. Biology is the science that deals with the origin. Think about these words. Deals with the origin, the history, the physical characteristics, life processes, and habits of living organisms. You knew that, right? You knew that word for word. You were just reciting it word for word as I was reading it. That's what biology is. It's a science that studies the history and the origin of living organisms. Can we learn anything about gender in biology class? What is gender? You hear that term. What is gender? Let's just define the term. Gender is, from this dictionary, the fact or condition of being a male or female human being. That's what the word means. That's what the word has meant for centuries. Notice it is called the fact or the condition, a state of being, male or female. The word or is a coordinating conjunction that says it's either this or it's this, but it's not anything else other than one of those. That's what the word means. So by definition, just by definition, there are only two genders. Gender is something that is tied to our sex. And I know that's not what people want you to believe today, but it's absolutely the truth. That gender is something that is tied to a person's sex. Well, you say, okay, what does that mean? Well, let's define the word. What is a person's sex? It means, look at the definition, either of two divisions, male or female, into which persons, animals, or plants are divided with reference to their reproductive functions. Two divisions. The character, second definition, of being male or female, all the attributes by which males and females are distinguished. You mean males and females can be distinguished from each other? All of the attributes by which they're distinguished, that is what makes up our sex. So note carefully from those definitions that both gender and sex are limited to only two options. That's it. Just by definition, they're limited to two options, male or female. This has to do with humans, but notice that it also has to do with animals. I was privileged when I was a teenager to work for the best pet shop on the face of this earth. I had the best boss in the world when I worked for the best pet shop on the face of this earth. I learned a lot. I learned a lot working for that pet shop. I learned I didn't want pets. That's what I learned. But I learned a lot working for that pet shop. But you know, people would come in and they'd want to buy fish. So we'd go to the aquarium to get the fish out. You know, sometimes they'd ask for a male fish or they'd ask for a female fish or a certain number. Do you know we could tell the difference between a male fish and a female fish? I didn't have to ask the fish what they were. We could tell the difference just by looking at the fish. Somebody might come in and they want to buy a bird. And they say, I want a male bird. Well, fortunately, these birds didn't talk. We couldn't ask them what they were, but we could go in and choose a male or a female bird depending on what the person wanted. Sometimes people would come in and they want to buy a mouse. I don't know why, but they wanted to buy a mouse. Sometimes they'd specify, I want a male mouse or a female mouse. Do you know we could tell the difference? When we went into that lovely mouse cage that had about 150 jillion mice in it, I don't know how many mice were in there, but it was too many. We could tell the difference between a male mouse and a female mouse. You know who else has been able to tell the difference between a male mouse and a female mouse for over 50 years? Disney has had Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse for over 50 years. They've been able to tell the difference between a male and a female for all of this time. You know why? Because you can tell the difference between a male and a female. So let's continue in biology class defining these terms. What is a male? A male, when it's used as an adjective, is designating or of the sex that fertilizes the ovum of the female and begets, that's the male's responsibility, offspring. It consists of men or boys. Look at this. It is biologically distinguished from the female sex. You can tell the difference. When it's used as a noun, it means a male person, a man, or a boy. I know there's way too much on here and not enough for you to time for you to copy it down. It'll be on the website tomorrow, or I can send it to you this afternoon. What's a female? By definition, I'm just sharing with you definitions out of this old dictionary from the 1900s that was accepted for centuries. A female is designating or of the sex that produces ova and bears. The female bears offspring consisting of women or girls biologically distinguished from the male sex. When used as a noun, it means a female person, woman, or girl. These are not hard definitions, are they? They're definitions we've known for a long time. What's a man by definition? A man is an adult male human being of the sex distinguished from woman. I didn't make that up. That's just a definition that's been used for centuries. What's a woman? Not hard to define. A woman is an adult female human being of the sex distinguished. Notice how many times in these definitions you've got the word distinguished in the definitions. What does that tell us? There is something that distinguishes them from the other. What's a father? A man. What's a man? An adult male human being. A man who has begotten a child. He's the male parent. What's a mother? Not hard to define. A mother is a woman. What's a woman? The adult female human being who has born a child. These are not hard definitions, are they? They're definitions that have been known and accepted for centuries. And yet now we're not supposed to use the word mother. She's the birthing person. You know, I don't know about you, but my relationship with my mother-in-law is already confusing enough. I don't need to start calling her my birthing person-in-law, nor my father-in-law, my non-birthing person-in-law. Those would make greeting cards really long. But seriously, a pregnant man emoji, that's not biological. That's not biblical. Everything we've been doing to this point has been in this biology class where we're defining terms. What does the Bible say? That's all that matters here. What does God say about this subject? Do you know God has a lot to say about this subject? When we turn to the Bible and we start reading the Bible, here's what we need to remember. Every time we turn there and every time we walk away from the Bible, here's what we need to remember. Young people, here's what you need to remember. God is always right. The Bible is always right. That's all that matters. Anybody else can say anything else that they want, but when we come to the Bible, that's going to be right every time. And so what true biology does is true biology follows God and follows the Bible. That's what true biology does. It follows whatever the Bible says and whatever God says, because the Bible is always right. So you know what we learn in the Bible? We learn it two times. We read it two times in the Old Testament. Read it two times in the New Testament. We read that God made them male and female. And we read that in the Old Testament. We read it in the New Testament. God says, I want you to remember this. I want to make it as clear as I possibly can. Didn't just do that with the human beings. He did that with the animals. And we mentioned that earlier. But here's just some of the verses where you read about every living thing of all flesh and the birds and the donkeys and the goats and the herd and the flock. The words male and female are used about all of these animals. What does that indicate? It indicates that the animals were clearly distinguishable by some identifiable differences. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 14 in your Bible. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 14 where God was promising some blessings to the Jews in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 14. And he says, you're going to be blessed above all of the peoples of the earth. Now notice what he says. There shall not be a male or a female barren among you or among your livestock. There's male and female among you, and there's male and female among your livestock. I wonder how we can tell the difference in the exact same way. The exact same way you would understand the difference between a male and female in your livestock is the exact same way you're going to understand the male and female among human beings. It is something that God makes very clear for us. And so the Bible and science both teach, I want you to hear this, the Bible and science both teach that your inside, in other words, your DNA, matches your outside, your parts. They match. Your inside and your outside match. Now I know that some people are seeking to change that. And while someone might be able to change the outside parts and maybe even make some sort of changes on the inside, your inside DNA remains unchanged. Your inside DNA remains unchangeable. If you were born a male, you're a male and you always will be. If you were born a female, you are a female and you always will be. Did you know that your body is made up of about 30 trillion cells? I don't know who had the job of counting those, but I'm glad it wasn't me. Your body is made up of about 30 trillion cells. That's a lot. Inside every cell is a nucleus. If you go into that cell and you pull out the nucleus, if you could just pull out the nucleus of that cell, here's the nucleus that has all of the information about that cell. Here's the control center of that cell. And now if you could then look inside of that nucleus, inside of the nucleus, inside of the cell of 30 trillion cells in your body, inside the nucleus of your cell, there are 23 pairs of chromosomes. Aren't you glad you came today? 23 pairs of chromosomes. Inside the nucleus of every cell, 23 pairs. One set you got from your mom, one set you got from your dad. What does that indicate? You got to have a mom and you got to have a dad to be alive. So one set of chromosomes you got from your mom, one set you got from your dad. Remember how many sets there are? 23 pairs of chromosomes. 22 of the 23 sets, 22 of the 23 pairs all look alike. But there's one pair of chromosomes that doesn't look like the other pairs. That pair of chromosomes are called the sex chromosomes. So here you are, you've got a cell, and it doesn't matter what cell. It could be a skin cell, an eye cell, a liver cell, a brain cell. You pull the cell that you want to pull, okay? You pull the nucleus out. Okay, I got the nucleus. You open up the nucleus, you got 23 pairs of chromosomes. Great. 22 pairs, don't care about those. I pull out the sex chromosome pair of those chromosomes. And that sex chromosome isn't like any of the other chromosomes. It's different. What makes it different? It identifies my sex. And if there are two X chromosomes there in that pair, then you are a female. If there's an X and a Y chromosome there, then you are a male. And that's the way God designed it to be. Every single cell in your body has those sex chromosomes in it. And when it is pulled out, it identifies your gender. It identifies your sex right there inside your cell. Every single cell, with the exception of the red blood cells in your body, every single cell in your body has sex chromosomes in it, and every single one of them matches every single other cell in your body. You're not going to pull one cell. Well, maybe that's an anomaly. I'll pull another cell. Every single one of those cells, the sex chromosomes within it match every other sex chromosome in your body. Isn't that amazing that God made us that way? Some of you watch maybe some crime shows. You watch CSI or something where they find maybe they find a body part, but they don't have the rest of the body, and they do tests on that body part, and the person comes back and says, "Oh, this is from a male." How do they know it's, or this is from a female? How do they know? They don't have the rest of the body. What have they done? The cells in that body part told them that it was from a male or a female, even though they don't have the rest of the body. Isn't it amazing how God has made our body? every cell in your body tells whether you are a male or a female. You may be able to change a lot of things about you, but you cannot change your sex chromosomes. You may be able to change a lot of things to maybe change your gender, but you cannot change your sex chromosomes. When God made you a male, you will be a male for the rest of your life. When God made you a female, you will be a female for the rest of your life. That is simple biology. Now here's what somebody's going to do. Here's what somebody's going to say if you present this information to them. They're going to counter you with some very rare disorders, some very rare mutations, and that's what they are called in science, disorders and mutations, like being intersexed or having an androgen insensitivity or having Klinefelter syndrome. Very rare syndromes, very rare disorders or mutations. But the exceptions do not change the rule. The rule is, when you were born this way, you cannot change it. Gender is not something that you choose. When you're 3 years old, when you're 5 years old, when you're 8 years old, when you're 18 years old, when you're 88 years old, gender is not something that you choose. A person's gender, whether they are male or female, is something that is determined by God at conception, determined by biology at conception. It is something that is developed in the womb, it is identified at birth, and it remains unchanged for the rest of that person's life. That is taking what God says, and that is taking what true biology, following what God says, helps us to see. And the conclusion when we're done in biology class is, there's only two genders. What happens if we go to my favorite class, to math class? Are you kidding me? Math class? You can talk about gender. Well, they're going to talk about gender in any other class today, so how about we talk about it in math class? You see, it's in math class where you learn to do simple things like counting and adding, except not everybody counts the same way today. Now, I know there's new math and all of that, okay? My girls went through school with that new math stuff. I don't like new math. I like old math. I could do it back then. I can't do new math today. Figure it out on your own. But people don't count the same way even today. They don't count genders in the same way today. If you research how many genders are there, you will not find a single answer, except for the true answer that says there's two. If you go and ask Google how many genders are, Google can't even agree with Google on this. You know why? Well, we'll talk about why. There's one, one college I know of. You go on their site to apply to go to school there, and you choose your gender, and there'll be 37 options for you to choose for your gender. It's more than that, though, is what they tell us. There's one medical article that says, besides male and female, there are 72 other genders. So they're saying there are 74 genders. That's confusing. That's a lot to count. And so what we are told is that gender is not binary, meaning that your gender is not tied to, is not identified with your sex. Well, we've already seen in biology class that that's not true, that your gender and your sex are inseparably tied to each other. But here's what we are told about gender. We are told that gender is a term that relates to how we feel about ourselves. Gender, these are not my words, these are their words. We are told that gender is the idea is to make everyone feel comfortable in their skin, irrespective of what gender, notice what they even admit here, irrespective of what gender they were assigned at birth. I don't think they meant to say what they said at the end here, but they said it anyway. They recognize something is assigned at birth, but they say that gender is something that has to do with our feelings of being made to feel comfortable inside of our skin. We're going to come back and talk more about feelings in just a minute. But does the Bible have anything to say about feelings? God says there is a way that seems. You can insert the word feels here if you want to. There is a way that feels, that seems right unto a man. But the end of that way is death. Feelings are not a safe guide for us. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. And so instead of following our feelings, do you follow your feelings in math class? I mean, is that a good thing? 2 + 2. I just feel that you follow your feelings in math class? Math class is very structured in how it's laid out. So let's go and count how God is going to do this. God, when we look at true biology and we look at what God says in the Bible, we only come up with 2 genders. Whether you are going to count them, 1, 2, or whether you're going to add them, 1 + 1, you still only end up with 2 genders. So you read through your Bible and count them up. You read through your Bible and 50 times in the Bible, and it's more than this, but I'm limiting it to just one when they occur in the same verse. 50 times in the Bible, humans are clearly distinguished by identifiable genders, male, female. 50 times in the same verse, you read male, female. Most of the time it's male and female, but sometimes it's male or female. What does that word or mean? Oh, those are the only 2 options. Sometimes it's male nor female, meaning it's neither male nor female. Well, there's no other option then. It's interesting that God would use not just the word and, but also the word or. He does the same thing with animals. 12 times, same verse, you're going to read those same words in regards to animals. 83 times in the same verse, you're going to read about a man and a woman. Again, sometimes it's man and woman. Sometimes it's man or woman, indicating those are the only 2 options. But in the same verse, there aren't any other options given. Count them up. Not just man and woman, but 43 times you read about men and women in the same verse. But you don't read about any other genders. When you read through your Bible, if we're just counting up things the way that God counts them up, you can't get more than 2 genders. God talks about there being male. God talks about there being female. And when you add those 2 together, you only get 2. You don't get 37. You don't get 72 more. Those are the only ones that God identifies. And God is the one who made us. Biology class, what do we learn? Only 2 genders. Math class, what do we learn? There's only 2 genders. Go to history class. Did you enjoy history class? I hope you did. History class teaches us a lot. But here's what I want you to think about. Think about this first statement up here. Throughout history. What does that mean? For all time. Throughout history, the difference between males and females has always been very distinguishable, has always been very identifiable, and done so by all cultures. Get your Bible and go to the book of Exodus. I want us to understand that throughout history, all cultures of all different types have identified and distinguished male and female from each other and as the only 2 genders. When you get to the book of Exodus, you are reading a historical period where you have 2 very different kinds of people living together. You've got the Jews and you've got the Egyptians. You couldn't find 2 different types of cultures on the face of the earth than the Jews and the Egyptians. But they're living in the same area because now the Jews have become the slaves of the Egyptians. But when you read in Exodus chapter 1, here's what I want you to see. Go to Exodus chapter 1. And what I want you to see as we read through this is that these 2 cultures, they identified and distinguished male and female in the exact same way. The king, and look in verses 15 and 16. In verse 16, the Egyptian king gave an instruction to the Hebrew midwives. And in verse 16, the king says to the Hebrew midwives, if a son, a boy, a male, is born, then you shall kill it. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. The Hebrew midwives could tell the difference between a male and a female as soon as the baby was born. Not only could the Hebrew midwives tell the difference between a male and a female, the Egyptian king could tell the difference. He could tell the difference because when they saved the male children, what does he say to them in verse 18? Why did you save the male? Well, how did he know they were male? He could tell the difference between the male and the female babies. But not just the Hebrew midwives, not just the Egyptian king, but all of the Egyptians. Look in the last verse of chapter 1, verse 22, where Pharaoh says to all of the Egyptians, every son, boy, male, who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Huh. You mean all of the Egyptians could tell the difference too? But it wasn't just the Egyptians that knew this difference. You get into chapter 2, Jochebed, Moses' mother, could tell the difference. She knew he was a male and not a female. Moses' sister Miriam could tell the difference. So she wanted her little brother to be saved. That's a nice big sister thing to do, right? To want her little brother to be saved. Pharaoh's daughter could tell the difference. The very same thing. Here's Pharaoh's daughter, not related to this little baby. Here's Moses' mother, and they all could tell the difference between a male and a female in exactly the same way. Two very different cultures, but they saw things exactly. How? Because there were only two genders. They understood that. You fast forward 1,500 years, you get to the time where Herod the Great wants to kill baby Jesus, and what is his command in Matthew 2 and verse 16? To kill all of the male children, 2 years old and under. He knew the difference. You go into that book of history in the New Testament, the book of Acts, and you read about men and women, and you read about there only being two options in Acts chapter 9, men or women. Isn't it interesting? We're in history class. Throughout history, every single culture has been able to tell the difference between males and females. You think about historical characters. I want to just share with you some historical characters. I want you in your mind. Are they a male or are they a female? Historical characters that we've all learned about in history class. Is this person a male or female? Alexander the Great. Adolf Hitler. Muhammad. Aristotle. Albert Einstein. Isaac Newton. Winston Churchill. Thomas Edison. Martin Luther King Jr. Huh. I bet all of you had the same answer, didn't you? We've all learned about them, and what do we know about every single one of them? They were all male. What about these? Cleopatra. Joan of Arc. I know what some of you are thinking. Song lyrics. I'm not. Queen Elizabeth. Anne Frank. Rosa Parks. Marie Curie. Amelia Earhart, Florence Nightingale. You know what all of you were thinking? You were all thinking the same thing. You know why? Because you know these historical characters and you know what their gender was, even though you didn't live in that time. How do we know? We know this because since the beginning of time, every person has been clearly identifiable. They have been distinguishably identifiable as a male or female since the beginning of time. So what has changed all of a sudden? I mean, history, we've been going along this route for thousands of years. What has changed all of a sudden? Here's what hasn't changed. Science hasn't changed. Sorry, it hasn't. The Bible hasn't changed. Truth hasn't changed. So what's going on that some want there to be 37 genders or 74 genders or however many that number is going to creep up to? What's going on that this is happening? Here's what we're witnessing today. What we're witnessing today is what happens when you plant ideas and feelings into people's heads and then glorify and celebrate and encourage those feelings. That's what we're seeing today. If you don't believe that, let me give you some parallels to that. It is like planting the idea or the feeling in somebody's head that somebody's skin color makes them superior or inferior to somebody else. You know what that is? That's an idea or a feeling that gets planted into somebody's head. You know what that is not? That is not science. That is not Bible, and that is not truth. That's just an idea that's being planted in people's heads. It's the same thing where somebody plants the idea or the feeling into little children's heads who are at school. It says, oh, here's little Michael at school. Well, you know, and they plant the idea that, well, it's okay. It's normal that little Michael has two mommies. That's not science. That's not Bible. That's not truth. That's an idea that's being planted into people's heads, into a feeling being planted in their heads, and then just celebrating that idea. It's the idea that we talked about 2 weeks ago. It's been planted in people's heads that what's happening inside of a mother's womb is not life. It's just a fetus. It's a blob of tissue. There's no life inside the mother's womb. That's what we're told to believe. That's not science. That's not Bible. That's not truth. That's an idea. That's a feeling that's being planted into people's heads. And so again, here's what we are told today. We are told that gender is a term that relates to how we feel about ourselves. Are feelings a good thing to follow? Are feelings always a safe, reliable, trustworthy, consistent standard? No, they are not. Read some of these verses. We don't have time to look at them. Read some of these verses on the screen. Are feelings a safe, reliable, trustworthy standard to follow? If you think they are, go back to math class. And on your math test where it asks you 2 plus 2, when you write 7 on that, 2 plus 2 is 7, and when you get that test back and your teacher, hopefully, has marked it wrong, you go to the teacher after class and say, Teacher, I just feel like 7 is the right answer. Do your feelings about 7 being the right answer make that the right answer? Your feelings don't change what the answer really is. If you think feelings are a safe and trustworthy and acceptable standard, the next time that police officer pulls you over, just say to him, sir or ma'am, it just felt like I was going a lot slower than what you're saying I was going. See how that flies. Are your feelings going to make any difference in that? Are we going to say to Jesus, you know, Jesus, I feel differently about that than you do, and I'm just going to go with my feelings instead of yours. What's interesting is to read through the Bible and to look for the word feel or the word felt in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 27, do you know why Isaac blessed the wrong son? In Genesis chapter 27, we are told that Isaac blessed the wrong son because he felt him. And he said, this isn't making sense, but he feels like my oldest son. And he followed his feelings. Was that a good idea? It wasn't the right son. His feelings misled him. In Judges chapter 8 and verse 11, as Gideon was pursuing the Midianite army and attacking the Midianite army, Judges chapter 8 and verse 11 tells us that Gideon attacked, when would they attack him? He attacked the Midianite army when the camp felt secure. They were in the camp, and how did they feel? Secure? Oh, we're good. No worries. Go to sleep. Everything's good. They felt secure. Were they secure? No. And they got conquered. Their feelings misled them. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, the Bible teaches us that Saul, the king Saul, felt compelled to offer a burnt offering. He was not authorized to do that. He followed his feelings. And in following his feelings, God took away his kingdom from him. Feelings are not safe, trustworthy, reliable, acceptable standard. We don't need to follow our feelings. We need to follow what the Bible says. We learn in biology class, math class. We learn in history class. There's only two genders. Very quickly, we're going to run to class. All right, don't run to class. That's a bad idea. We're going to run to class. I know shop class doesn't exist anymore. I wish it did. What about shop class? Do you know that simplicity and obvious nature of only two genders is evident in everyday life and terminology? It's evident in shop class. Definition of terms. You go to the handy-dandy dictionary to define male, and guess how it defines male? Here's a definition for male. Designating or having a part shaped to fit into a corresponding hollow part called female. You're in shop class. Define female then. Female is designating or having a hollow part shaped to receive a corresponding inserted part called male. So, the differentiating of male and female has been so obvious and discernible by the parts that they have that the terminology has been used for years in various fields of work. We have electricians here. Yes, I know we do. Do electricians know the difference between the male end and the female end of the electrical cord? You have extension cords at home. You're an electrician. You know which end to plug into the female socket. You know which end to plug in. You've got a hose at home. You've got a hose outside at home. You know your hose has a male end and a female end? You know it does. And you know that those work together. Isn't it interesting? You just go to shop class. Some of you are in audio, video, and even your HDMI cables. When you plug in your switch to play your games today, your HDMI cable has a male end on it. We understand that in every part of life. Why is it so different when we come to something else? Very quickly, go to health class. This is where we learn about these kind of things. It's in health class where we should learn that male is always male and has male parts. Female is always female and has female parts. It's in health class where we should learn that the male and the female correspond precisely to each other. We see that in shop class. You cannot take a male end of an extension cord and plug it into another male end of an extension cord, can you? You can't plug a male into an, you can't plug a female into another female end of an extension, can you? That doesn't work that way. We understand that, don't we? Do we understand that's the way God made us first? Before there were ever hoses or extension cords or HDMI cables, there were human beings. And God made human beings that way. He made us with parts that correspond to each other. He didn't make an exact copy of Adam. He made one who would complement him in every way. That is exactly how God designed us. God designed the male for the female, the male parts for the female parts. He designed the female for the male. The male parts were never designed for other males. The females were never designed for other females, and that is what Scripture makes very clear. Old Testament and New Testament. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as you would with a woman." Such is an abomination, chapter 20, the Bible, under Old Testament law, such was punishable by death. You get to the New Testament. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Have you read Romans chapter 1 to see what God tells us in the New Testament about this subject? How clear God makes this in the New Testament? In Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves." Verse 25, "Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator," who made them male and female, by the way, "who is blessed forever." Verse 26, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions." Why? "Because even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, also likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving sometimes even some physical ramifications of their actions, the penalty of the error which was due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind." We learn in the Old Testament, we learn in the New Testament, how God made us, how God made two genders, and how they are made for each other. Unfortunately, I guess today in health class, you would learn about LGBTQIA+ instead in health class. But we need to understand that when we come to the Bible, did you notice when we were reading this what verse 26 said? They exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. That's not the way that we were designed. It's not the way that we were made, and it's not the way that we were born. Look at the end of verse 28, and this is the New King James Version. "To do those things," I love the way the New King James has this at the end of verse 28, "to do those things which are not fitting." Isn't that an interesting word in this context? Males and females fit together. When they are taken in some other way, male and male does not fit together. Female and female does not fit together. This is God's design. God designed for one biological male to marry one biological female and to enjoy their biology together inside their marriage for the rest of their lives. And any other arrangement is sin in the eyes of God. Any other arrangement will not receive the reward of God at the end of time. God is going to judge fornicators and adulterers. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 is just one verse that would teach us that. Unfortunately today, there are individuals who have taken the symbol of a rainbow and are using it for something else. You know, the rainbow is a reminder to us, one, that God will not flood the earth again. But why did He flood the earth to begin with? Because of sin? Because of sin and immorality that was on the earth? The rainbow should not only remind us of God's promise, but what that rainbow came from, the consequences of sin. Friends, there's nothing about which we should use the word pride to talk about something that goes against the will of God. Next month will be Pride Month, but it's as if we have Pride Month every month now. There's nothing for there to be pride. We need to go back and say, what does the Bible say? I know this has been a long lesson, but I want us to understand, what does the Bible say? Very quickly, we're going to English class. And I say quickly because I did not do well in English class, so we're not going to stay here very long. But you know, it's an English class where we learn to properly define terms. Isn't that interesting? It's an English class where we learn to use a dictionary to properly define terms. It's an English class where we learn how to read and to write and to understand language. It's an English class where we learned complicated things in English class. We learned I before E except after C, but not always, right? Because how do you spell weird? That's weird is a W, not a C, but you still, I before E, those rules are way confusing, right? You know, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a what? A dove, D-O-V-E, but when that person jumped into the water, they didn't dove into the water, they dove. But it's the same spelling, but it's pronounced differently. English class can be complicated sometimes. But English class could also teach us simple things. Simple things like pronouns. The word he is not a complicated word. It is defined as the man, boy, or male animal previously mentioned. It is the masculine personal pronoun that is third person singular. She is the woman, girl, or female animal previously mentioned. It is the feminine personal pronoun in the third person singular. They is the third person plural pronoun, not ever to be used singular. These are just the definitions of those pronouns. What we know and what we've seen through definitions, through English, through history, is that he is always man, boy, or male every single time. She is always woman, girl, or female every single time. Always has been, always will be. That's just by definition. I can change my pronoun, but that doesn't change what I am. You know, I could go and change my address to a mansion on Palm Beach. Does that make me a rich person? Nope. Still not there. But if I change my address, it doesn't change me. It doesn't change what I am just because I changed that address. I could try to change my race on my passport to make me an Asian. Does that mean I'm not a white guy anymore? If I change my race to Asian? No, what I am is what I am. I can't change that. I could try to go to my driver's license and change it to where I'm 6'6" because I've always wanted to duck into every doorway I have to walk into. And so I identify as a 6'6" guy. And so I'm just going to go to my driver's license and change it to what I identify. Does that mean I'm not 5'10" anymore? No, I am what I am. It's the same thing with our gender. It's the exact same thing. We understand this. Just because I change the pronoun doesn't change what I am. In literature, Every male character you have ever read about in literature was always a he. Every female character was always a she. You know that to be the case. Go back and read all of those novels, all of those books that you ever read. Always he, they, without exception. Historical figures. Remember all those historical figures I read? Every single one of those males was always a he in your history books. Every one of those female characters, always a she in your history book. And when you pick up the Bible, guess what? Every male individual in the Bible, always a he. Every female, always a she. And here's all of the pronouns used in the Bible and how many times they're used. And God never changed somebody's pronoun, not once. The male was always a he. The female was always a she. The personal pronoun never changed for anyone, even when they were referred to years and centuries later. Their personal pronouns were never changed. You know why? Because Jesus said, the Creator said, Jesus said, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And God has not changed that. As we close and as we summarize, we end where we began. There are only two genders. The Bible teaches us that. Every class in school teaches us that. Every person is either a male or a female. God made boys to be boys. If you're a boy here this morning, I want you to know God made you to be a boy. God made boys to always be boys, and they always will be boys. God made boys to be attracted to girls and to marry girls. That's the way that He made them. So if you are a boy, if you are a boy because God made you that way, accept it, celebrate it, own it, and live like it. Because that's the way God made you. God made girls to be girls. He made girls to always be girls, and they always will be. He made girls to be attracted to boys for some reason, and to like boys and to marry boys. If God made you a girl, accept it, celebrate it, own it, live like it. Males are always the boys, men, sons, and fathers. Males are never the girls, the women, the wife, the moms, or pregnant. Females are always the girls, women, daughters, and mothers. They are never the boy, the man, the husband, or the dad. That is never the case. And that is true because gender is something that is universally distinguishable, universally identifiable. Gender is something that is comparable, and gender is something that is unchangeable. Gender is something that is determined by God at conception. It is embedded in your DNA, and it is not determined by your feelings. This is not a matter of how we feel. I know some people say, I feel like everybody ought to be true to themselves. I feel like everybody ought to just be themselves and be true to themselves. If you're one of those people, if you meet one of those people, I would dare say nobody agrees with that statement. Anybody who says, I just think that everybody ought to be true to themselves, I just think everybody ought to be themselves. What about a serial murderer? Think that person ought to be true to themselves? What about a serial rapist? They ought to be true to themselves? What about a pedophile? Everybody just ought to be true to themselves. A sex trafficker, just be true to themselves? No. You see, feelings. Feelings are not the standard. This is not about how we feel. This is a matter of what God says. And what God says is truth, and it will always be truth. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. God's word will always be truth. We need to remember that God always wants the very best for you. He always has. He always will. And the reason He gives us commands in His Word, the reason He gives us His truth in His Word, is because He wants our good always. That's what He wants for us. And if He made you a boy, if He made you a girl, it's because He wants your good for you always. And so we need to love Him and we need to trust Him. It is more important to be right and accepted in the eyes of God than it is to be right and accepted in the eyes of man. Right is always right, even when nobody else is doing it. Even if everybody on earth goes down another path, right will always be right. And wrong is always wrong, even when everybody is doing it. I know this has been a difficult lesson for some. I know this is a subject that is not easy to talk about. I know there are some in here who are struggling with this. I know there are some in here who have family members who are struggling with this, have friends who are struggling with this. I have not tried to make light of this lesson today. I've tried to make sure that we just go back to the Bible and allow the Bible to teach us today. May God help us. May God help us to love Him and to trust Him. Are you one of His children today? Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? The Bible says in order to become a son or daughter of God, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That gives you the right to become one of His children. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, He calls upon us to repent of our sins, turn away from the wrong in our life, turn our lives in the direction of God, to confess our faith in Jesus, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins, immersed in water, so that at that moment the blood of Jesus can wash away every sin we've ever committed. Have you ever done that? If you've never done it, there's water here today, there's garments and towels here today. You can be baptized into Christ today, become one of His children, become a son or daughter of God today, to be raised to walk as a faithful child of God. If that's not where you are today, if you're not a faithful child of God today, why don't you hear Him calling? Why don't you recognize that there's a fountain free for you and accept His invitation right now as together we stand and sing.